Boy, I love Peter and Janet, and he does a great job with that. But I will share with you that Peter here this summer let us know that he's already retired once, and he's going to retire the second time. And by that meaning, they've been cleaning the church. You've been cleaning the church for 14 years? 14 years. That's a long time. See, we're in 2020, so you started in 2006. And, boy, I'll tell you what, he's done a great job, he and Janet. And it's not as easy work as you think it is to come in here after the Lord's Day and everybody's used the building. And then they got to start cleaning everything, all the bathrooms, the hallways, and all everything goes on around here, plus anything special comes in. And so he let us know that, October the 8th, they're going to officially retire. And that, so you look too young to retire, brother. And but anyway, I really appreciate this guy. He's done a great job. And lo and behold, God works in mysterious ways, and that. And so what ended up happening soon after Peter announced that, and then we announced it to the church, Pastor Adam came to me one day, and he said, hey, Sarah Mila approached him about, she's a senior in high school this year, and approached Pastor Adam about, think there's any chance the church that I'd be interested in cleaning and doing what Peter and Janet does and take over that slot and that. So I told Pastor Adam, I said, well, let me talk to Mom and Dad. So I buttonholed Mitch and Nicole out here one day, Sarah wasn't there, and I told him, I said, hey, you got a second? And they said, sure. And so I said, Your daughter has approached us, and that she, being in a senior in high school, likes to spend money, so she wants to have a little part-time job, so I said, but I wanted to talk to you two first and see how you felt. And so she, and I'm right about that time after we get talking about, and Sarah comes walking up there, and she goes, "What's up?" I said, "Well, we're talking about you," but anyway, Mom and Dad said, "Yeah, that's fine." And she's going to be going to school, she's going to do the virtual thing this year. And I said, are you sure you want to do that? It's your senior year in high school. And she said, no, I really do. And I know the Milas are hard workers and that. So Sarah's going to come in. Peter and Janet's going to show them what to do and that. And so they'll do that. So they'll have to get her trained before October the 8th. And then October the 8th thereafter, then Sarah will be doing what Peter and Janice doing. But I also want to say I want to thank Frank back here. Frank comes in every week, brother, and I appreciate so much. He volunteers and comes in here and helps Peter and Janet, does a great job, and I appreciate Frank coming in and helping out there with that. You know, this is a big building. You don't realize that till you start working on it and realize how big a space this place is and how much to take care of around here. And then also Kathy Ludwig comes in. And once or twice a week, a couple times a week. I don't see Kathy here tonight. She's usually here, but Kathy comes in. She also volunteers and helps Peter and Janet. And I appreciate Kathy coming in and doing that. And again, many hands make for light work. So, and then if we have something special, like, you know, the Booth brothers or whoever, whatever's going on, you know, then several other people, you know, chip in to try to help get everything cleaned up. So it's a big place. And Paul does a great job working in the maintenance. And Ron Truitt is now mowing the grass, does a great job on the mower. And you got, who else? You got volunteers, you know. One thing we need to recognize, last year we recognized our volunteers, and we had a volunteer meal, I think, for them. And I know with the COVID thing, we haven't done that. But there are so many volunteers that makes this place work, and you don't really realize it till you get in the operation of it week in and week out. And so I know Paul and Ron was out here cleaning carpets this week. I appreciate that, and there's so much to do that. So they got started on it. We got a little bit more to go, a lot more to go. I think they got some of the hallways in the front foyer, and you know, it's every once in a while somebody will spill something and get a stain somewhere, and Paul takes that on as a challenge to be able to get that out. Amen, brother. And so sometimes it's not always easy. I guess you could put a sign out there and say, no drinks, no water, no coffee, no tea, no nothing. And but, you know, people say, well, I won't spill it. Yeah, well, take a look around. And they were over cleaning A1 and A2, and I appreciate them doing that. So tonight, if you want to follow along, let's take our Bibles. We're in Matthew 26, And tonight, you know, it's been I can't remember. Did we serve the Lord's Supper in January or February? I don't think we did we? So this is the first time of serving the Lord's Supper in 2020. And that's just, you know, that's just really, and we knew during the coronavirus that we would probably not be able to do that. We're out of service 9 Sundays and then getting back. And so, you know, we'll get back. We'll definitely do it in the morning services, as we always try to do that around Easter, Christmas, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 times a year, do it in the morning. But we wanted to get back and doing that. I know tonight we're going to do it a little bit different than what we normally do it. So on the way in, like Brother Bob said, you should have picked up at either doorway a cup, and I'll give you an explanation on that in a little bit, and it's got a wafer there in it, but if you're not aware of it, one of the ministries that Nicole Myla does is she makes the communion bread homemade from scratch and prepares that, and then also prepares the juice. She approached us here quite a while back and said, I would like to do that as one of my ministries here in the church. And so we said, yeah, absolutely. And so Nicole does a great job with that. But now with the coronavirus this year, we said, you know what? We're not going to pass the plate down the aisleway and have people, you know, getting in with their hands, everything else, just to be safe and make everybody feel maybe a little bit more comfortable. So this was the next best thing we could do. It's not my favorite, probably not yours either, but it'll do, and it'll get us through this time. We perhaps will have the communion service one more time like this before the holidays, and then we'll serve the Lord's Supper in the morning during the holidays. So, you know, we'll do at least this time, maybe 2 more times to get us to the end of the year. We usually try to do it about every 6 to 8 weeks on the church calendar. There's no set rule in the Bible that says how often you should do it. I've been a member of a church that only did it once a year. I've been a member of a church that did it every quarter. So it's just really whatever the congregation, the leadership of the church decides, or how often the congregation wants to do the Lord's Supper. I think you should do it often enough that it's special and it has meaning, and you don't want to do it every Sunday where it becomes ritual and habitual and that. It's done in remembrance. Obviously, the Lord's Supper, there's only 2 ordinances in the local church. One is baptism by immersion. And we practice that ordinance. That's an ordinance that Jesus left behind and said that, you know, if you get saved and come to know Him and believe in Him, you should follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So if you're here tonight, you've not yet done that, we'd encourage you to do that. If you know somebody else that is saved and yet not baptized, I'd encourage you to encourage them to follow the Lord in baptism. We got some young people that are waiting on baptism right now. Brother Adam will be baptizing here before long. We're just waiting on everything to fit together with the family and moms and dads and approval of all that and going on. We'll be baptizing some more young people. So that's exciting to always look forward to baptism. The Lord's Supper is obviously a remembrance of Calvary, a remembrance of Jesus coming and dying on the cross at Calvary, there giving His very life and shedding His blood, giving His body broken and bruised and beaten there on Calvary for you and I to pay for our sin debt. So when they observed the Lord's Supper, they did so in the upper room. Jesus did before He went on, was crucified. And so He met there with the apostles, with the disciples. Those that were in that room were saved and baptized. They were believers, that small group of people. And He shared something very special and very unique with them, the broken body that was going to be crucified in a little bit, and then the shed blood on Calvary. And so when He left that ordinance that we in the church observe that. Now, it's a church ordinance. By that meeting, you can have open communion and closed communion. Closed communion is whereby it's just restricted to the church family and strictly for those that are saved and baptized in the particular family. That would exclude then anybody that's a visitor or guest that might be here that even is saved and baptized. So we practice what is called open communion. And by that meaning that if you're here and you're a born-again believer and you're a member of the church, but maybe perhaps you're here and you're not joined the church yet, we allow or encourage you to partake the Lord's Supper along with us tonight. And so as long as you're saved and baptized, if you're saved and not baptized, again, I go back to we encourage you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I just don't understand why somebody would want to get saved and then not get baptized and that. So I got saved. 2 weeks later, I was baptized. And the sooner the better. And I think if you wait much longer than that, the devil works on you and things will happen. There's no reason to delay it and that. And so that's a special thing. So we practice opening. And not only that, that we encourage tonight. I know we may not have young children. We have teenagers tonight and that. But if you have a young child, I remember when our children were growing up and Nita and I was on the platform, Nita was on the piano bench, and our three kids sit on the front row. That means they were within earshot and spitting range if we needed to get a hold of them real quick. And that they kept asking, Dad, can we take communion? Can we take communion? And I made them wait until they all got saved and believed. And then when Chad got saved, he sat with Grandpa and Grandma in church. And I baptized him, and then he partook in communion. The other two had to wait till they were all saved and baptized. And then our children looked so forward, because they sat in church for several years there at a young age, wanting to take in the Lord's Supper. And they saw us partaking in the Lord's Supper, and they went, and I said, well, not until you're ready, till you understand what you're doing and what it means and the purpose behind it. And so that was an exciting time in our family to watch our children partake in the Lord's Supper together. So let's look at the scriptures here in the Bible. It's a recorded in the book of Matthew, also recorded in the book of Mark. You can read it in both Gospels, but we'll go to the Gospel of Matthew tonight and kind of get the setting in place and kind of what was taking place. And this is when they were consulting to, you know, put Jesus to death. You know, as I shared in Sunday school this morning, Anita and I were watching and reading a little bit the other day about all the Roman Caesars that in Roman history, during the Roman world. There was a time when the Roman world went all the way up through almost England, and then all the way down through the Mediterranean to the Persian area and that, and they dominated and ruled. And all the different Caesars and that reigned during that time, it was during that time that Jesus lived under Roman rule. And that, and so during that time, it was not the Roman world though that put him to death. It was the Jews. That was in one of our Bible lessons the other day, I think in Sunday school or church, that we were reading that, or maybe it was Wednesday night Bible study. It was the Jewish population that called for his death, demanded his death, and they crucified the Savior. But it was the Roman world that carried it out. It was the Roman soldiers that carried it out and actually did the crucifixion. And so here it begins reading in verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, he said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now, in that verse, it talks about the Passover. I think most all of you probably know what that's about. That Passover is when they would come to Jerusalem every year, once a year, on the Passover feast, to celebrate their exodus out of Egypt, and there would be a feast and a celebration in Jerusalem. And so everybody would come to Jerusalem to celebrate that Passover, the Feast of the Passover, which is really celebrating their exodus out of slavery in Egypt and then headed towards the Promised Land. So they come into Jerusalem to celebrate this feast in verse 3, and then assemble together the chief priest, this would be at the temple, and the scribes, which would be the lawyers of the day, and then the elders of the people, the older and the pastors and those that were the elders of Jerusalem there, under the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, that's the Passover feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And now when Jesus was in Bethany, it said, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation or wrath. They were upset, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And then one of the 12, in verse 14, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? Now, you need to keep in mind other places in Scripture. I won't go into this right here tonight, but the Bible says that Satan had influence or came and had an impact upon Judas Iscariot. I've had people ask me, well, was Judas saved? I don't believe so. And, you know, can you say, well, was he saved during the ministry of Christ and going about and then lose his salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation. So Satan influenced Judas. And so Judas now comes and betrays the Lord and says here in verse 15, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. You need to keep in mind that Judas here traveled with the other apostles and the Savior for about 3 years. Almost 3.5 years up until this time. So Judas knew where Jesus was perhaps most all the time, and where they went to pray and where they went to observe the Lord's Supper. And so the Bible says, and from that time he sought opportunity then to betray him. And now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in verse 17, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. So this is the very first time of the Lord's Supper. And it's with the apostles, the disciples that they're with him in that upper room. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Notice he goes right after Judas, right at the very beginning. And they were exceeding sorrowful. Now the rest of them didn't know this, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered, and he said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth, as is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. So as they were eating in verse 26, Jesus then took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. And for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung then a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. So this is the first time in Scripture, as I said, this is also recorded over in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. It's also recorded over in Luke chapter 22. Luke gives his version. John Mark gives his version of the Lord's Supper and what they did there. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, wrote as they partook in the Lord's Supper that before you take this, there really should be a time of self-examination, a time to make sure. And that's really what was in that upper room that day. Jesus knew Judas was there, and he was pointing him out and making him to be held accountable for that very time. You know, I often wonder, I wonder if Judas, did he get up and leave the room? Did he stay there and partake in the Lord's Supper? That'd be an awkward moment to be sitting there and to realize that he betrayed the Lord. And that, I don't know, I'd like to think that he got up and left the room. I don't know. But when you look at it, the Bible says here the order and the meaning of the Lord's Supper is laid out very simple. This is written to the church at Corinth. He said, For I have received, in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, of the Lord, that also which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So right there is why we take the Lord's Supper. It's a remembrance. It's a memorial. It's what we do to remember the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And then the same manner also in verse 25, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now here's where it is in verse 26. How often do you take the Lord's Supper? It just says in Scripture that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So there's no set pattern. As often as you do it, and again, that's a local church mandate. It's a local church choice. I go back again to some churches do it once a year, and if that's what they choose, that's scriptural. Some do it once a quarter. We do it once every 6 to 8 weeks. That's scriptural. So it just says as often as you eat you do show you and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, then, verse 27, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, which some in Corinth were, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, what would that mean then, you know, here, unworthily? Well, number one, you need to be saved. Make sure you're saved and you know you're saved. And you follow the Lord in baptism. I think also it simply means when you come to the Lord's table, if there's any unconfessed sin in your heart or your life or anything that's maybe not right that you feel, you know, then we should confess that before the Lord. It's a very sacred and special thing to be able to partake in the Lord's Supper. So you just want to make sure your heart's right and you have a right frame of mind and the right heart and the right attitude as we take in that. So we're going to pause for a moment of prayer before we serve the Lord's Supper and ask, if you would, to bow in prayer. And we'll just wait a moment in silent prayer, give you an opportunity. You can pray quietly right there where you're at in your own pew. If you want, you're welcome to come to the altar. You don't have to. But whatever's between you and the Lord. And I'll pause and wait a little bit, and then I'll close or lead us in prayer, and then we'll partake together. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight and thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to spend time in prayer together. And Father, we thank you for this special time that we can partake in the Lord's Supper. We don't take it for granted. It's a special and sacred and holy opportunity that we can do so in remembrance. There's no other place in the world that we go to partake in the Lord's Supper except into the local New Testament church. And Father, as we do so in remembrance of what you did on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin debt. And God, what you did in shedding your blood, that we could have forgiveness of our sin. The Bible says remission of our sin, forgiveness. And so, God, we thank you for that tonight. So, God, we look into our own hearts and our own lives and realizing if there's anything that would hinder our relationship with you, God, that we confess that before you and ask you to forgive us and cleanse our hearts. And God, if we have any hatred or anything odd against our brother or sister in Christ, that we would remedy that with you and then with that person and make that right. And so, God, tonight as we approach you, that this time of the Lord's Supper is a very special time that we partake in remembering what you did for us. May we never forget. May this always be in the front of our minds and hearts, this special time of partaking in the Lord's Supper together. And so, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to share in this memorial. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. If you're following along in the Bible, we're going to read some verses found in the Gospel of Luke. And we usually go to Luke chapter 22. Let me get over there and a few verses that we want to do. And then in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14, it talks about, again, the last Passover, Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, talking about Calvary now, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So what we're going to do at this time tonight, what you have in front of you, trust everybody has one of these if you'll take it out. Now you need to be really careful on this, that on the tab that you peel back, there's two tabs on there. You have a real thin plastic tab that's on top. If you just peel the top tab back, not the juice tab, the juice tab will be the thicker tab underneath. Just peel back the top tab, and if you peel that back, that'll give you the wafer, and then you can take the wafer out and then hold that in your hand, and now we'll pray, and then we'll all partake of the wafer together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Calvary. God, never may we never forget what you did for us on the cross, how important it is that you came, and the pain and the agony that you went through, God, the suffering. And I know that even Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 that if it was possible that this cup be taken away from him and be passed over. And he knew the suffering that was going to come with that, the crown of thorns on his head, the piercing in the side, the beatings that he had taken, the flesh wounds that were laid open. God, he paid a huge, huge price and a sacrifice that we could have forgiveness of our sin. So as we partake tonight, realizing tonight that he gave his very body to be a propitiation for our sin. And God, we love you tonight. Think we can partake in this in Jesus' name. Amen. And they did break, if you will, and all partake together. That's where the Bible says he took the bread, gave thanks, break it, gave unto them, and this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So likewise, if you'll take the same cup, now be careful on this, you don't spill it as you pull it back on your lap or your Bible, and you can get a hold of the foil that's underneath there, hang on to it firm with one hand, and then slowly peel it back. Watch it doesn't splash out or sprinkle out. I leave a little bit of mine attached on the other end so it doesn't completely separate. You don't have to pull it all the way off. Just peel it back to the back side of it. And then again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to partake again in the Lord's Supper. And as we partake in the juice tonight, God, we're reminded the Scripture says that likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And God, thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that gives us the forgiveness of our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And they did all drink. Now, if you didn't peel it all the way back, you can probably just push that back or push it down in the cup a little bit. You can do one of two things. You can hang on to that, and as you leave the service, there's a wastebasket at each doorway. You can just throw it in the wastebasket on your way out. Or if you don't want to do that, you can put it in the pew there in front of you, and it'll be collected up tomorrow when they clean the church. But if you want to hang on to it, there are wastebaskets at each exit on the way out. So Brother Bob's going to come and lead us in a song. And then as customary, what we normally do, we ask the ushers to prepare. We take a benevolent offering in our church. And again, this is the first time we've done communion this year, so we haven't taken any benevolent offerings. And that's what we want to do so tonight. We'll pass the offering plate. That's for benevolence, for somebody that might have a need in the church family. We always try to address those needs first. And then if there's extra to be able to help anybody in the community, we sure try to do what we can as we can. And so we appreciate your generosity in giving. Brother Bob.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil the victory win? There's one. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
ushers to come at this time, and we'll receive that offering as they're passing that offering plate. We'll ask you to just have a seat, and we want to close the service out in prayer. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Thanks for the opportunity to give. And God, we know that we are a blessed people beyond measure. We want to be able to give out of a heart of love tonight. And there's others around us, perhaps somebody that is struggling along the way and can't pay something or without a job or whatever, God, that you'll just have your hand on each and every family that has a need. And God, thank you that you've been good and prospered so many. And God, we give back out of a heart of love tonight to be able to help others that have a need. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Here's what we want to do to close the service tonight. As you know, our country has a lot of divisions and a lot of challenges and things across our nation today. You see people being murdered in some of these cities. You see a lot of racial division going on. You see a lot of unrest. You see a lot of heartache and pain. And we just need to pray for unity. And we need to pray that God would intervene in some of all of this that's going on. And we're narrowing down to a national election on November the 3rd. And I don't know about you, I will be so glad when this is over and we can get November 3rd behind us and move on in our country and our nation. Maybe it'll bring about a healing. And I am concerned that obviously no matter which side wins on this, as far as Republican or Democrat, I think there's going to be challenging issues in our country and our nation. There's going to be people that's not going to like it on either side. So you're kind of in a no-win situation. What I pray for is, God, that you'd have your hand upon our nation, upon our country, and that God would be more and more in control of all things going on. And so we just need to pray the Lord's will would be done. Pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for those running for office, pray for our governors, pray for our mayors, pray for those that serve in positions of leadership tonight, and so that God's will would be done. And you know, God simply said in 2 Chronicles, and you know the verse, that if my people, which are what? Called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves, and what? Pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. God knows for sure we need a healing in this country. And it all starts with us praying and seeking God's face and asking His, if we humble ourselves before Him and pray and seek His face. And so we need to do that tonight. So I want to do this tonight, if I would. I'm going to ask Brother Jim Monroe, maybe if he'd stand, lead us in prayer. Pastor Adam, maybe if you'll lead us in prayer. And we'll ask a couple of these men to lead us in prayer tonight. And praying for our country, our nation, our church family. You know, one of my concerns, I'll be honest with you as a pastor, is with this coronavirus, we've been dealing with it so long now. I made a lot of visits this week, getting out and about and running into a lot of people and that. I'm concerned about getting people back to the house of God. And that's habit forming. You can be in a habit of going to church and the things of God. You can also get in a bad habit where you've been out so long and not there that all of a sudden now it seems natural not to go. So what we need to do, those of you that have been faithful in coming, you need to pray for it. God lays somebody in your heart, reach out to him, give him a call. I invite him, encourage him to come, be in the Lord's house. Every Sunday, it seems like I look out and I see somebody that wasn't here before that was here on that given Sunday. We need to pray that God will just continue to bring people out. We need to be concerned. The Bible says, you which are spiritually strong, we need to reach out to others and to encourage them. Don't let the devil have them. Don't let them, don't let them to fall back into complacency or a lukewarmness. And we need to reach out to each and every person. I realize some are staying out still because of the coronavirus. I understand that. And they're just not quite ready. They'll be here sooner or later. I miss those people that are out there, you know. Hazel Griffin, she hadn't made it back yet. I know, but I know what's going on. I pray for her. You know, this week I was at the Baker home with Shirley, and Sheila had surgery. Pray for Sheila as she recovers from her parathyroid surgery. Good to see Ken Larson in church today. He had a neck brace on, but he just had surgery on his neck on a C5. They put a plate in there on his C5, 6, and 7, and he took a fall, and that happened in late June. And so he didn't want anybody to know, so he didn't bother any of us. And I'm on visitation last week, and I said, Ken, what are you wearing that brace for? He said, well, I had surgery. And he fell in his kitchen and broke his neck. And they went in and had to put a plate on C5, C6, and C7. There it is, there. So anyway, be concerned. Reach out to somebody else and just encourage them to get back in the house of God. Norma Eibach wants to be here so bad. But she hadn't been able to be here. A lot going on with her. And many others. You know others in our church family. I talked to Helen Oliverio. She's over in Midland, but she's returning this week. And she plans on, Pastor, I plan on coming back to church. And she'll need a ride. Bruce, she mentioned your name. So I guess she's not driving now or whatever. But so there are others around the church family. So if you look around, you don't see somebody here. Now that you have a church directory, you can go in there and look up their name and number and give them a call. Or go by and see them or whatever. So, Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, and then Pastor Adam, if you'll close in prayer tonight.
Father, we thank you for this privilege we have of talking to you personally. We know that you are aware of the conflicts that are in this world. We know that this devil's been around, you know, all these cities just causing destruction. But we know that sin is getting worse all the time. Father, we do pray that you would intervene and give us a godly man for our presidency as we come to the election day. Father, we know the values that you want us to be involved in, and we just ask you at this time that you would be with each heart as they bend a knee and ask you to make sure that our country goes forward and not backwards. Father, thank you for being able to have the freedom of worshiping, to come together, to meet every week. We know there are many who aren't here. That many are afraid of this virus, and Lord, we pray that they might find some vaccine that might be able to take care of this in the near future. Thank you for being able to have the Lord's Supper tonight, something that we remember of your death and your blood that was shed that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for being able to finally get back into this communion service and be able to remember what you did for us. Again, Lord, we do pray that you watch us through the week, take care of us, help us to not forget to talk to you each day, that we might be able to see results from all this prayer that goes up on our behalf. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for allowing us to be able to come together tonight and worship you, Father. We thank you for allowing us to be able to partake in communion, and just to be able to think back and remember all the things that you did for us, Father, and how you gave your life for us, and that took the penalty of sin ultimately for us so that we wouldn't have to pay for that. And we just thank you for doing that. Lord, we think about our country. We think about the division and everything that we see when we turn on the news and whenever we look around, Father. And we ask that you would just restore our land, Lord. We know that you have the power to be able to do that. We know that you can step in and that you can change hearts and that you can change lives, Lord. So we just ask that you would do that. It says in the book of Proverbs that you control the hearts of kings, Lord, that you turn them as rivers of water. So I ask that you would just be in control, that you would just do that, Father. We know that whatever happens with the election coming up, that you will be in control, Father, that nothing changes you being in control, that you're always up there, that you're always paying attention, that you don't miss anything, Lord. So I ask that you would just be with each and every one of us. I ask that you help us as Christians, Lord, to be able to stand up and to be able to take a stand in this country. I ask that you would help us, Lord, to be the ones that are going to make a change, because ultimately it's going to start with us, and it's going to start with us making the right decisions and us getting back to what you want us to do, Lord. So I ask that you to continue to bless our church. I ask that you be the ones that are sick, Lord, that you would just continue to heal them, raise them up. And I ask that you be the ones that haven't been back yet, that you would just help them to be able to get back, Lord, that you would ease their fears, and that you would just be with them, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. This announcement, this Wednesday night, Kelly McMaster, missionary to Brazil. He has just returned from Brazil. Will be with us in the midweek service. They've just gotten home. They'll be traveling through. He's here in the Michigan area. Wanted to know if he could come by. He knew this was on the calendar. and they are. They're up with their mom. Their mom used to live up in the Lake Fenton, Linden area, but she's moved over, I think, to the Lansing area. So they'll be coming down Wednesday and be here for the midweek service. So if you can, we encourage you to be here. So Wednesday night this week, we'll be here in the sanctuary and with Kelly McMaster, missionary to Brazil. Have a great week. Good to see you tonight. Amen.